I've realized some time ago that when reading modern writing, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, doesn't matter, there are a lot of throwaway words. And I think some of it is authors get paid by the page or maybe by the word. And so there's a lot of words that just don't really add anything. They're just kind of superfluous and just unnecessary. So much of like my homily, perhaps. But in the scriptures, the exact opposite is true. Ink and parchment was expensive. The time to write was timely. And when everything had to be copied, you wanted to make sure that you used language that was purposeful. And so the evangelists and the writers of the scriptures were very tight with their language. I like to joke, St. Paul didn't use a period in his life, and that is literally true. They didn't have periods or commas or quotation marks. They didn't even have spaces in the Greek. So it was just one run-on sentence, letter after letter after letter. So when a particular word is used, the authors want us to pay attention. And today we have a couple of those words, but one in particular is now. Now, currently, is a throwaway word. But in context, beloved, we are God's children, now adds weight to it. We are God's children now, right here. And sometimes we understand it, and sometimes we forget about it. And that's why I think St. John includes that word now. We are God's children now. What we are to be is yet to be revealed. We talked about that a little bit last week with the qualities of the resurrected body, how that all plays out. That's to be revealed, but we know that we shall be like him. We are God's children now. How he gathers us into his flock right now. But as we hear, there is something more for us to reflect on. While we use words that seem devoid of meaning and use too many words, also we have the tendency in our culture to forget. And a particular commentator, a political commentator I listen to quite frequently, says, with this whole Hamas and even Russia, we live in a culture that thinks everyone thinks the same, everyone thinks alike, everyone has the same worldview, and nothing could be further from the truth. And when you try to apply Marxist ideology to modern situations, you begin to dismiss, perhaps, bad behavior. You begin to dismiss, perhaps, something that's deeper, something that's going on. We live in a society that denies evil when it comes down to it. If evil can be justified, well, then it's all okay. Today in this Good Shepherd narrative, and actually on this fourth Sunday of Easter every year, we hear a portion of, it's chapter 10 of St. John's Gospel. Last year we heard of the sheep gate, how he protects us from the thieves. Today, the Good Shepherd who protects us from the wolves and actually from the hired man who runs away. Next year we'll hear about the voice of the shepherd. But the more I reflect on this whole chapter, the more I begin to understand that our Lord protects us against all evils. And in fact, in Greek, there are three particular words for evil that are used, and they're not used interchangeably. One word for evil is an ontological evil. In its very being, in its nature, it's evil, perhaps like a wolf. And so often when we even hear this, we think of the modern idea of a wolf or the United States. You know, they travel in packs. There's something noble, something beautiful, something haunting about wolves. But that wasn't the wolves of the scriptures, not the wolves of the Middle East even yet today. They were solitary creatures. They were malicious. They would just attack to attack. Sometimes they would kill just for the thrill of killing. When our Lord says, the shepherds, the hired man who's hired to be a shepherd sees a wolf running, or sees a wolf will run, and that's true. Because a wolf will kill sheep or human, doesn't matter to the wolf. But a good shepherd will stand up against the wolf. And we're not talking good as in again, another throwaway word. In modern society, how was school today? Good. How was your meal? Good. Here, though, there's a moral good here, a perfection. In fact, the word seems to be used that if you want to know the best, you look to the good shepherd. He is the best shepherd, the one who is the model, the morally perfect one. The good shepherd will lay down his life for the sheep. He'll stand against wolf or bear. He'll stand against thief, and he'll correct the hired man. The wolf, by ontology, is evil. But then there's those that are morally evil. These are the thieves. Actually, in the last year, we heard of thieves and robbers. Robbers usually rob by force. Thieves steal without force. There is a difference. In the Greek, it's kleptes. We get kleptomaniac from that, and listes. In the scriptures, listes are the ones who are worthy of capital punishment. Jesus was crucified with listes. They've done moral evil. It's not saying that they're perfect in other things, but they morally are wrong. And we pray that we need to pray that they would be converted, that the Lord would convict them of their wrong and bring them into the truth. But then we have the hired men. And the more I reflect on the sexual misconduct of the church and such, the more I see those that would commit such heinous crimes as the hired men. It's not a term of derision, but rather the hired man, this is a day laborer, somebody who's hired, and in fact, it's sometimes used for a mercenary, somebody who's in it just for the pay, who's not going to go above and beyond, in fact, might go a little under or a lot under. The hired man is not doing their duty. It's a teleological evil. They're not paying attention to the ends, the reasons, which is what teleology means. The hired man does what they want. These are different kinds of evil. And our world is filled with these kinds of evil. And we, as sheep, sometimes are afflicted. But our Lord is the Good Shepherd who gathers us as children, gathers us in his kingdom. And not only that, but he tells us here that there are other sheep who do not belong to the fold. And yes, there's all sorts of people he was talking about the Native Americans, you know, if you listen to the Mormons, and, yeah, nothing could be further from the truth, or whatever. He's talking about the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Those that have not heard his voice yet. Those who have been scattered long and far away. They too are called. They too need to be brought into the sheepfold. They too need to be brought to be part of the flock. They too need our Lord's protection. And his mission to them isn't complete. It's not that Jesus is a failure. It just simply isn't complete. He leaves it to the church. So while we are the sheep, we are also called to be shepherds. All of us, each in our own way. Mothers and fathers, you as are shepherds of your children. I hope and pray that you would be the best of shepherds, following the model of the Good Shepherd. Those that are ordained, myself and my brother priests, are called to be good shepherds, not hirelings who simply do what we want and do it for the pay. I used to joke about some would enter the seminary for the 3 square meals a day. Well, if that's why we're entering the seminary, we're entering for a bad reason. And we're not going to be very effective, certainly not for long. We need to be good shepherds, to follow the model of the shepherd, the good shepherd, the perfect shepherd, for all of us to call and proclaim the gospel time and again. I think that's why the church in her wisdom gives us so much from the Acts of the Apostles during the season of Easter. And time and again, we see Peter or John or the apostles proclaiming the gospel, reminding us of the gospel, that Jesus Christ really lived. He took on flesh. He was born. He suffered, died, and was buried, and rose again. And he gives eternal life to those who come. That's the gospel in a nutshell. The church wants us to proclaim that gospel, to be part of the new evangelization, as St. John Paul II put it. Sometimes when we hear that term, we think, well, there's a new content. No, that isn't what he meant by it. But rather, we're preaching the gospel to those who have already heard it, perhaps. Those who are, I'd like to say, inoculated just enough with the gospel that it falls on deaf ears. Yeah, we heard. That think we know what it all means and ignore the truth. And then when something terrible happens, Hamas attacks or terrorist attacks or murders or whatever. I'm especially thinking of like 25 years ago. Yesterday was the Columbine massacre of so many, I forget how many youth and adults killed in a terrible attack. And we turn to the Lord and say, why? Because we forget there's evil. And we forget our Lord wants to protect us from that evil. But it means coming to him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we are to be yet to be revealed. But we are God's children right now, right here. And we are called to go out to others and to proclaim the good news. To proclaim to them they too are called to be children of God. That there is room in the church for all. Yes, there is evil. But evil wins only when good people do not respond and proclaim the truth. Only when good people fail in their end, fail to be who they are called to be as children, as sheep in the flock of our Lord.